think about the times in my life. I filled in my walk, giving in to the strife that you made me to count. And I'm only myself to blame. Harmless enough, but they grow into giants. Oh, so tough. And the cycle continues. When will I ever learn? Creature of habit, you're going down. I'm breaking the cycle. I'm messing around. Oh man, you're losing. Cause now in control, you're not gonna stop me from reaching the goal. Creature of habit, it's your time to die, time to be reborn. And time to fly. Cause chains have been broken. Watch what I do, gonna watch what I say. Let the Holy Spirit lead me, whatever comes my way. And whenever I fail, I quickly repent of my sin. Gonna dig in God's Word, let it mold me to form. Completely transformed with the nature of Christ, full of His Spirit and love. So creature of habit, you're going down, I'm breaking the cycle. I'm tired of messing around. Oh man, you're losing. Cause now in control, you're not gonna stop me from reaching the goal. Creature of habit, it's your time to die, time to be reborn. And it's time to fly. The chains have been broken, replaced by the mercy.
Chains been broken. Amen. How many believe that?
Amen. Amen.
Man, happy to be in the house of the Lord tonight on a Saturday night. And I, before we turn the order to service, I just want to say a few words about my meeting this Brother Tom. Brother Tom shared with me his testimony. A couple of weeks ago, and the testimony was touched me very deeply. And I asked him, I said, I would like for you to come and share the testimony with our assembly sometime. I didn't have any idea that it would happen as quickly as I did, but this is a brother, I believe him to be led by the Lord. Saints, you know God knows what he's doing. You know God knows what to take us through.
Yeah.
How to get us where he wants us. And when we get there, we'll be what we need to be there. And so I believe this brother to be led by the Holy Spirit. He's the one that sent me the CD when I had just pondered on the CD and said, boy, I wouldn't mind having one of those, you know. And about 20 minutes later, he texted me and said, hey, I got a CD and I want to send it to you. And it was the same one. And I shared that with you. But his testimony was very touching to me. We live in a tremendous time. We live in a time where Satan pulled out all stops. He wants to kill, steal, and destroy more now than ever. If right. there ever was a change in his attitude, it's worse now than ever. The scripture said he comes down having great wrath because he knows he has a short time. There's a time in the unfolding of things where his attitude becomes very fervent because he knows it's about over with for him. He's pulled out all stops. And as we know, there's a lot of things throughout the land that's really shaking people.
Right.
And so we know that's got to come. We know that. But I believe that we should open our hearts up to the Lord and be in expectation and say, God, you know that the battlefield that lays before us is tremendous. You know that the casualties, the count, appears to be getting high. And so, Lord, we want to get serious with you. We want to get down to business. We want to surrender to you, Lord. And we want you to come and put your finger on anything in our lives that's not exactly what it needs to be. And I you know, it's up to the Lord. This brother doesn't know anything about the assembly here. He doesn't know anything about anybody personally. I purposely do that when we have visiting ministers because I want whatever comes to come from God to them. But I believe the testimony the brother has is a good example to us that we need to listen to. And to realize, and I heard and in fellowship today as they were fellowshipping around the Word, Jesus Christ came to give us life and to give it more abundantly. And he has come to live in you and I to give life
right.
to those that we rub shoulders with, to those that we have opportunity. He's come to give life through us to them, not condemnation. The law, Brother Branham coined this phrase, I believe he was the first one, but he said the law was a policeman. He put you in jail. He had no power whatsoever to take you out of jail. Why would we want to present to this generation something that only can condemn them and not present to them something that will give them life?
Amen.
Amen. And so I said that because I believe this brother's testimony is a tremendous example of just how much God is concerned about reaching down to the lowest that anyone might get themselves in or whatever Satan might pull upon them to reach down and bring them up. And so I thank the Lord for allowing me to hear this brother's testimony. And we know that God will bless you in it. Don't know how much you'll share tonight. That's all. We've left that all up to him and to the Lord, just as he feels led to do. And we want to keep it that way. We want the Holy Spirit to have the freedom to minister whatever, go whatever direction he feels like he needs to do. And as long as you're in God, in the Holy Ghost, you can't go wrong.
Right.
So we believe that. I would like, as we change the order of service, I would like to sing 354. I call it, I claim the blood. They call the name of it, I have a source. But I claim the blood.
Amen.
That Jesus shed on Calvary. Because, saints, it all falls into that. If we don't take the life that was in that blood to this generation, then we have failed miserably. And let's all stand. Ask for the dean to take up the offering as we sing. And we want to just sing the chorus of this.
Jesus shed on Calvary.
Amen.
Those precious blood stains were there just for me. For all I sin, my sickness. Thank you.
good to be in the house of the Lord this evening, and we appreciate all that Pastor has said, and you know, just being here and the opportunity to share with you. You know, we don't believe we know anything except Him.
Right now.
You know, we went through the times of life that, you know, it was so important to know something. It was the importance of this message was how much that revelation you had. I've been there. But something happened. And all of a sudden, you know, you get to looking around and things are different. The sky's changed. The flowers look different. The water's different. The people's different. Love is different. Everything is different. And you realize the things that you thought was so important was not the importance at all.
Right.
But what was important was knowing Him.
Amen.
And if you know Him, all those other things, they take their place.
Right.
And it's right. Not how much you know. Brother Ram says that. You know, it's not how much you know, but who you know.
Right.
You know, he said, I might not know much about it. They told him, said, Brother Ram, said, you don't know much about that Bible. He said, well, I might not know much about it.
Right.
I might not, but I know the author.
Amen.
I know who wrote it.
Right. That's right.
And you know, the thing is about it, all those things that they talk about, y'all. All those great mysteries they talk about. All those things that they want you to know about. Now, I'm not against those things. But all those things, well, I come to one thing. That if they're there, you may not can explain them. You may not know where they're wrote at. But you'll produce every one of them in your life.
That's right. Amen.
The life is where it's at. Amen.
Amen.
Right. Do you love Him this evening?
Amen.
Right. You know, it's a nice little place. And you know, and everybody just seems to be... is everybody happy?
Amen.
Come on, everybody. Everybody happy? That's good, see. And we want to know that, you know, God is in God's children has a right to be happy.
That's right.
You know, that a lot of times we get around people and they think that the God's people shouldn't be happy for some reason. You know, and if you're not happy, they'll find some reason or another. Or if you're happy, they'll find some reason or another to make you unhappy.
Right.
But that ain't good.
No.
We're going to be happy.
Amen.
So this evening, that's what we want to do. If you would with me, we're going to turn over into the book of I'm going to have to look to see what book we're going to look in. In the St. Luke, and let's read out of the 15th chapter. And you know what? There's a story here about a little man that one time got away from his daddy. And you know the story, the parable of the prodigal son. But everybody knows the story, but I just want to read a couple verses out of it. And, you know, we drop down into the 15th chapter, and let's read. Let's read in the 16th verse, I believe it is. And yes, and when he would fain have filled his belly with the husk of the swine, did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, let's say that again. When he came to himself, when he realized what was going on, when he recognized, when his memory came back to him. Now look at it. He said, when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? When he came to himself, he said, you know, my daddy has a whole house full of servants over there that they don't never get hungry. Like, he got a whole house full of people over there that they never have to wonder what they're going to eat.
Yeah.
They got everything they have need of and more. And he said, I'll rise. Now watch what he does. He said, I'll rise and I'll go to my father. And I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. And I am no more worthy to be called thy son. make me as one of thy hired servants. And he rose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell and kissed his neck. And fell on his neck and kissed him. Let's just bow our heads if we would. Just for a moment, I'd like to ask this evening. If, you know, everywhere you go, it's like the brother said, I don't have no idea who you are. I don't know one of you from another. The most I know is the brothers here. And I met them for a few moments, literally. Now, we spoke a little bit today. And, you know, and other than that, well, I have no idea. But, you know, every time that we go anywhere, you know, I want God to speak to me. Now that leaves you out. I mean, this is for me. You know, if I look for everything we do, that God to speak to me. I look for Him every day. And so this evening, would there be anybody, as we bow our heads, would just lift your hand and say, God, I want you to speak to me tonight. Father, if there's something you have, if you could just speak to me, if you mean it. And Heavenly Father, we love you, Lord. God, we give you praise and glory. Lord, these things that sets before us, Lord, this time, Lord, that the brothers have so graciously given us, Lord God, to tell about you. Father, we love you. We ask you, Father, that you'll speak to us tonight, God. Lord, may we follow your leadership. May we do as you'd have us to do. And Father, the hands that's raised. The people's Father stands before us. Father, almost every hand in the building raised up, asking God for you to speak to them.
Yes.
Father, you know, you already know, Father, the need that is setting before us. You already know, God, how that things are to be. Father, we thank you for this and ask you, Lord God, that you'll move upon every request. God, and ask you to be with us. Guide us, Father. Lord, let us come to your word now. Lord, humbly we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. And like I said, it's good to be in the house of the Lord this evening.
Amen.
And, you know, just, I don't know, I think, you know, I've never seen a church start on Saturday night at 6 o'clock. Well, I got to thinking about that, and I thought, I know what that's for. That's so that we can stay longer.
Right.
That's what that's about, ain't it? And, you know, so, you know, he didn't tell me that now. I figured that out on my own. You know, and I feel like that when we get into the presence of God, it, you know, it just don't matter how long we stay.
Right.
And I heard about a preacher the other day. He said he was over somewhere and said he preached like 4 hours. I thought, my goodness. Well, I'm not going to do that. And God can do what he wants to, but I'm not planning that at all.
Yeah.
And, you know, I had a brother standing there, and he was talking about that, and the brother said, well, I tell you what, that guy can preach 4 hours a night if he wants to, but if he does, about an hour into it, I'm going on. I said, all right, then. You know, so, you know, all I ask you, if we get to that hour mark, don't go home yet. We won't be much longer, I promise. You know, I feel like, it, you know, we just try to say these things, and see, so I'll let you know when we started. That's the key to this. But just to kind of get to know everybody and get the feeling of what's going on. And, you know, we've been around the message most of our lives. You know, my uncle had came into the message in about 1963. I was just about 2 years old. And I know I don't look that old, but I am. And, you know, that's according to who you talk to if I don't look that old. I had somebody tell me the other day, said, Brother Thompson, you're about 60 now, aren't you? I said, oh my. No, not even close, y'all. But anyway, he came into the message about 1963. We was raised around the message. We've seen everything that has come down the path. We know most of the big name preachers that's ever been, you know, in the message. We've heard all the doctrines that could be given, and we've preached most of them. You know, and, you know, you get wrapped up. And I want to tell you this. If we get into the testimony this evening, I will tell this in the morning or whatever. But I want to make sure that you understand that there's some things I'll say, and I'm going to be just brutally honest. I know no other way of doing it. You know, we've played with this thing so long, and we've played games, and we acted out, you know, stories, and we think, you know, we're going to try to be this, we're going to try to be that, but God only wants us one way, y'all.
Right.
That's the only way He wants us. He don't want any other thing. He don't want no acting.
Right.
He don't want no playing.
Right, right.
He's done with all that.
That's
He's
right.
finished with all that. That goes on out yonder somewhere, not in the house of God,
yeah.
not with the children of God, in the message of the hour today.
Right.
Now, I want you to understand that Brother Graham teaches us through the Church Age book. Hope y'all love that book, because I do too.
Amen.
And I know that, and, you know, some of the guys running around today, I come around and I realize that somebody's teaching that that wasn't Brother Graham's book, and I said, hogwash.
Right.
And that's one of Lee Bell's sayings, but that's hogwash, because I heard the tape myself. I know
that's
what he
right.
said about it.
Amen.
You know, when he sat there, when the book was written. But I know that, you know, in that book, he teaches us that there was two vines from the very beginning of time.
That's right.
You know, and he said, even in the Garden of Eden, he said, I can see those two trees coming forth and those limbs intermingling together.
That's right.
He said, they were so close.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? They were so close that he said only the elect would be able to know the difference.
Right, right.
It would deceive the very elected if it were possible.
Right.
Now, I'm going to tell you something. We've been taught and thought and looked upon these things all of our lives, but I'm going to tell you, that's not the UPC.
Right.
That's right, brother.
That's not the Methodists. Because
right.
I'm going to tell you something. There ain't no Methodist anywhere in this country that's going to that could deceive the very elect.
Right. Right.
Because you think it a good... Holy Ghost filled message believer can look upon the churches of this world, and that can even glimpse of having the truth to it. They
right.
know that.
Right, that's right.
Amen.
You say, well, how about the Pentecostals? Not even close.
Right, man.
You could spot one of them a mile off. Message believer walk. I tell you what, here a while back, I'll tell you a little bit about, I was working. Last, you know, until a few months ago, I was working in a jail for several years. There was a little lady come to working in there, and she's working in the kitchen. She walked in there, and I looked at her. And I thought, oh, my goodness, what's going on here? I went to her, and I started talking to her, and I said, sis, I said, what church you go to? She said, I don't talk about religion. I said, you don't? She said, no, sir, I don't talk about religion. I said, Are you Pentecostal? Which I knew better. When I seen her, I knew it. She said, no, I'm just a Christian. I said, are you a Branhamite? She said, oh, what's that? What do you mean by that? I said, I thought, I know where she's at. And, you know, and that's the thing. You know, a lot of people, that's where they're at. But you can tell them apart. They're real easy. The elect can look upon that. They see that. They know that.
Yeah.
They, you know, the elect can't be fooled, y'all.
That's right.
I didn't mean that bad. Y'all don't take that wrong now. But I didn't mean that bad. But here we go, and we're looking at these things, and you know, only the elected will not be deceived
right.
when that vine comes around.
That's
now,
right.
Brother Ram said that vine worked its way up through all the way through Pentecost. You think it wasn't there when they walked out on the day of Pentecost? They were standing out there, and all of a sudden the Spirit of God began to move. It was days. He said days that there was that the thing rose up out yonder somewhere and began to teach against what God was doing.
That's right.
Yep.
All of a sudden they find themselves in a mess again. And they go down through time, and we've seen it got so bad that they went into the dark ages where you couldn't hardly see anything going on at all. God wasn't moving in nothing. Then all of a sudden a revival breaks out. And it comes down through the ages. And we see how it goes down through those men and those reformers. And then a prophet of God comes on the scene like the world has never seen.
Right. That's right.
All
right.
This world ain't never seen anything like that.
That's right.
And that man walked out there. And I'm going to tell you now, you watch what we say and understand where we're coming from. But I know why them people look at him and call him God.
Right.
When you look at that and you see what's going on, how close it is
that's right.
to the very resemblance of Christ Himself.
Yeah.
Man.
The Word of God being revealed right in front of you.
Right.
That's right.
Jesus.
And there He is sitting there and we see that. And that vine, him preaching it all the time, saying, it's here, it's here, it's here. And then all of a sudden he begins to preach out of Christ the mystery of God revealed. He said, it won't always be a sweet group. Remember that?
Yeah.
Well, all the people I remember when I was a boy, and they begin to teach that scripture, and they begin to teach that quote, and they were saying, oh, that's to the church, that's to the church, that's to the church, to an individual church. It wasn't to an individual church, which it'll work there, but it was worldwide.
Yes, man. Come on.
When they all together, I'm going to tell you, when you, if you would have been back there, you'd have been surprised at it today. Them people walk out of that place and they all loved each other. They put their arm around each other. It didn't matter where they come from, who they were, how much money they had or how much they didn't have. They loved one another.
Right.
And they come out of that place, man, they were on fire to tell somebody about the message of the hour.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, that guy comes sweeping in. Well, that little thing, and the devil shot him full of something, Brother Tony. And all of a sudden, he goes through the group, and all they start taking sides.
Yep.
And what have they done? They started building denominations. And they can talk about those out there all they want to, but we got more of them in here than they do out there.
Right.
Now, understand where I'm coming from. Right. There they are. All of a sudden, we've got this camp, and this group, and that group, and that group, and this group. And nobody loves one another anymore.
Right. That's right.
And what, we get so tangled up, and we get so wrapped up in those things, and we don't even know where we're at. We don't even know where we're at. Amen. I'm going to tell you a little bit about myself and what went on, and pray that God will somehow or another will help you. You know, like I said, I was raised in this message for all those years. I preached the gospel for 20 years. I preached long, and I preached in big services, little services, didn't matter, man. I preached to thousands. I was all over, you know, I was doing missionary work. I started several churches and turned them over to different pastors, and, you know, and I was just working. I was working hard. And I thought I loved everybody. But I'm going to tell you now, listen, I'm going to get honest. And I want you to be honest with yourself this evening, because that's where it's going to matter at.
Right,
because it don't matter to me who you are. It don't matter to me where you're at. You know, I don't care if you're the biggest hypocrite in the town. That don't matter to me. Because I know God can take that and change it into a saint.
Amen.
I don't care if you're a drug addict in disguise. God can take that and change it in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye.
Amen.
By His mighty power, He said He could do it. Hallelujah. He said He would do it. If there's a seed laying down inside of you, He's coming to get it.
Amen. That's right, brother.
You cannot outrun Him.
Right. Come on.
But let me tell you what He'll do if you ain't real careful. He was raised around this message. All of a sudden, I found myself about 7 years before this certain time, I left the church. About 7 years before I left, God, I had a dream. And in this dream, I was walking, and I'm going to try to do this in a hurry. But I was walking down the road. I had went into this place, and I was with my brother, and we were sitting walking. And we was looking at this big pavilion. Now I'm going to tell this as well as I can remember. But I went into this big pavilion of tables just as far as you could see. Little bitty drop lights you'd see back in the 50s. How they'd drop that little light down there on the end of a string, you know. Y'all remember that?
Yes.
And that's the way it was, as far as you could see, as far as the eye would behold. And we were sitting there, and I got up and I walked up this building, and I walked up these steps. And on this, up at the top of this place, the steps was real narrow. And when I got up there, there was one of them hanging lights. And then I walked up there and I opened the door. And when I stepped inside, there was thousands and thousands of little bitty things about that tall. And they was hideous, and their faces was distorted and torn. And they was making a moaning and a groaning sound throughout that building. It was just roaring and roaring. And I thought to myself, I got to get out of here. And Brother Tony, I turned and I took off down them steps. Well, when I got back down there, my brother was gone. I was by myself. But I began to walk. And when I did, I walked down a road. And as I walked down this road, the further I walked, the darker it got. Finally, it was so dark, I could not see anything around me. I'd lost sight of everything. I couldn't see my hand in front of my face. Now, this is a dream, and I'm telling it like that. And then you figure it out later on. But I just could not see anything, not that far in front of me. And I got scared, and I started crying out for somebody to help me. And I heard a voice to my left, and it said, just stand there. Something's coming. Somebody's coming to help you. And I sat there for a while, and I want you to understand that this dream took 7 days to dream. From when I would wake up, wherever I woke up at in that dream, when I went back to sleep, I picked back up at that very moment, and I began to dream in the same identical dream from that point on. For 7 days, I dreamed this dream. And for 7 days, as I was walking through that darkness, or in that darkness, I heard the moaning and the groaning of them things that I was looking at. And I don't know why I had to look at them, but I knew they was all around me. And that voice of those things was just a moan and a groan. And in that darkness, and you couldn't see them, you didn't know where they was at, you couldn't touch them, but they were all there. And I was begging God, help me. And all of a sudden, I heard something behind me. I turned around and looked, and there was a little glimmer of a light coming at me like a little candle of some kind. And all of a sudden, I was moving, and it's like I rested. It's like I sat down, and we were moving and moving. And I thought in myself, I thought, oh, thank God I'm getting out of here. And we traveled in that noise, and then we traveled in that noise, and finally we come to a stop, and I thought, it's over. And when I did, I stood up and looked around, and it was just as dark as it was when we started. And I said, oh, what's going on? And I heard that noise of that same voice that said, just stand there. There's somebody coming. And I realized that I'd been going in circles. But Lane, I was moving, and day after day, and every time I'd fall asleep, I'd begin to do that, and I'd done that again and again and again and again until I started screaming, God, help me! What am I going to do, God? Please, God, help me. And in a dream, I was tore up in my spirit. I was crying, and all of a sudden, I heard another noise, and I looked around, and I heard this voice, and it said, come with me. I can show you the way out of here. And immediately we were moving like as faster than I ever dreamed anybody could be. And I knew we were moving through this thing and through this darkness. And all of a sudden we come to a stop. And when we did, the voice told me, it was like a lady's voice. But she said, I can't. I said, what's wrong? She said, I can't take you any farther. She said, this is as far as I can take you. You've got to make a choice now. I said, but you promised me. She said, you've got to make a choice. She said, there's three roads from this point on. One of those roads will lead you out. The other two, she said, you'll never be able to leave. And I said, which road do I need to take? And she said, I can't tell you that. And I began to cry out, and I said, God, I don't know what to do. I said, God, help me. Somehow or another, tell me, God, what I do. And about that time, I heard a prophet of God crying out. And Brother Tony screamed out, stay in the middle of the road.
Yes.
I told her, I said, take the middle one. And we were moving again as fast as we was moments before. And as time went on, I broke loose out of this darkness. And when we did, I was looking out into I could see the lights of the city. I could see the stars shining in the sky. And it was still dark, but it wasn't that kind of dark. And I could see all the lights and glimmering, and I reached behind me, and I remember taking that lady by the arm, and I said, come on. And she pulled against me. And she said, no. And I turned for the first time, and when I turned around and looked, there was a wall of darkness as high as you could see, as far in each direction, and it was just like it had a life to it. And I was standing there looking at that, and I said, I reached and got her by the arm again, and I said, come on. And she said, I can't. And she pointed over her shoulder like this, and she said, I live there. That's my home. And immediately she turned and stepped back into that darkness and just swallowed her up. I screamed as loud as I could, no! But she was gone. When I turned around, I looked at them lights of that big city down there, and I began to run as fast as I could. And that dream Finally, after 7 days, ended. 7 years later, I walked out being raised in this message, preaching the gospel. 7 years later, I walked out of the church. The prophet David said, it wasn't mine enemy, but those that I took sweet counsel with.
Yeah.
I want you to catch me, listen to me real close. It wasn't mine enemy. He said, if it had been his enemy, he'd have known what to do with them. If it had been his enemy, I'd have known how to treat them. I'd have known how to act. But it wasn't mine enemy, but those that I took sweet counsel with, those that I went to the house of God with, Brother Tony. Those are the ones that hurt. Now watch this. It was his brothers. Those that he loved. And all of a sudden, you know, I didn't even know what went on. But I walked out. I was hurting. Now I'm going to tell this as it happened. I didn't know this until I came back and things got straightened up in our lives, and I didn't know it because God never showed me. But what had happened is back a few years before this started, I was preaching a message one morning, and I was talking about a lady losing her baby. And I read a quote, Brother Ram said, you mothers that's lost these babies prematurely and things, don't you worry about it. He said, they'll be there. That's what he said. Another place I'm going to tell you, he said flat up. He said, babies go to heaven.
That's right.
Babies go to heaven. If you ever had that question on your mind, forget everything about it. They go. Okay? That's what he said. And the Jack Mormon, you know, and he said, Brother Brown said, you know, we've been told, you know, that, you know, this baby don't breathe the breath of life and it will never make it. Brother Brown said, you know, what do you think? Will I ever see that baby again? He said, not as a Jack Mormon. But I preached that one morning. And when I did, after we got done, we went to my house and there was a family there and there was this little group. Little guy, he was a teacher, and he was pulling the people off over into the corner and teaching them things that wasn't in the message. Was not in the message. He was teaching them things that Brother Ram didn't. Totally, completely opposite of what Brother Ram taught. But anyway, he taught them, and this brother, he sat there a minute, one that was with him, and he said, Brother Tom, I got something to tell you. He said, what's that? He said, that what you said this morning, he said, that wasn't right. I said, what do you mean, brother? He said, those babies didn't go to heaven unless they was predestinated to. I stopped for a minute and I went back and reflected on what Brother Ram said. And I said, brother, that's not proof. I said, that's a lie. And everybody looked at the teacher brother and he looked over at him. Brother Tony, when they did, he had to say something. And he said, well, Brother Tom, what it is? And he tried to explain it. You know, he said, back in the days of Joshua, God told Joshua to go down there and kill all the men, women, and children, and everything that died was eternally separated from God. I said, oh, brother. I got a little bit excited with him, I guess. Well, from that day forward, if I was preaching Jesus Christ died at Calvary, and his blood was shed for me and you, I had one of them to argue with at the back door. Now, this is stuff that's checkable. but I didn't know what happened. I didn't know what happened until I came back and God, through the mouth of a brother that was preaching, and God revealed it to me all in one moment when I was sitting there saying, God, why? But anyway, we were sitting there and all of a sudden that didn't bother me. They kept on coming at me and they was hitting me and they was coming at me. We knew where they were at. We didn't pay no mind. It's not your enemy that bothers you. It's not those. But the first time a brother walked up to me that I baptized, that I led to the Lord, that I led to the message. And he looked at me and he said, Brother Tom, I got to apologize to you. I said, what about, brother? And he told me. I said, oh, brother, don't you worry about that. It's fine. It's good. That's all it was. I left it just like that minute with everything's in me. And Brother Tony, he went on about his business and it was fine. But the next night, when somebody came and said, Brother Tom, I got to tell you something. I said, I was talking about you. Now I'm going to tell y'all this. You let me get through this before you judge it, okay? Because these people, what they were trying to do is they was trying to make things right in their heart.
You know, but after a while, you get tired of people making things right in their heart because it got to hurting. And all of a sudden, that hit became a bruise. And that bruise became a cancer. And that cancer began to grow. And before I left, my children would ask me on the way home, "Daddy, who apologized to you tonight?" And it got to where there was either every single church service, every church service, I'd have 1 to 3 people coming to me. That spirit began to whirl down in there. Watch what's going on now. But it didn't do it overnight. It took years. It took years. They began to talk about things that just, Brother Tony, that was just a total lie. It wasn't true. And they began to say things. And all of a sudden, I began to hurt in my heart. And then all of a sudden, for the first time, where I used to could forgive somebody for anything. You know, if you stole $20 from me and come back and said, "Brother Tom, I stole that $20 from you. I'm sorry, Brother Tom." I'd lay $20 down on the table in front of you and never think nothing about it. I could do it. But all of a sudden, when they said it to me and they said, "Brother Tom, I want to apologize to you." I said, "Again, come on, man. I'm tired of this." And all of a sudden, I began to have this little attitude. You hear what I'm telling you now? That little attitude began to crop up, and all of a sudden, I was hurt. And then I didn't even know. How many, you know what bitterness is? Do you really? I thought I did. I thought I did, and I talked about it a lot of times. I preached about it all over the world. I'd warned people of it. I went and counseled people about it. But Brother Tony, I didn't have a clue what bitterness was. And I walked in there, and all of a sudden, one day, I had a preacher come to me. I told my brother, I said, "Brother David," I said, "I'm leaving." I said, "I'm leaving." He said, "You can't leave, Tom." I said, "I'm leaving. I'm done." I said, "I've got to get away from you." I said, "All this doing is going to cause you more trouble." And I left him because I thought it was causing him. I left him, went to another church, and I was there just a few days, and the pastor quit. Church busts up. I leave there, I go to another church. The pastor moves to West Virginia. And I'm going like, "God, what's going on?" But in 1 week, I had 3 of my old good buddy friends, preachers, come to me. And they said, "Well, Thompson, you're being talked about in every church in this message." I found out later that wasn't true. Because most of them didn't know me. But there was 3 or 4 that was getting with it, man. But anyway, when it happened, I took the last time, the last one come in, I threw my hands up in the air like that, and I said, "I am done. Get out of my house. Don't never come back. I'm finished." And right then and there, I turned everything away. And the people I was raised with, the people I thought I loved, the people, you know, I thought I loved everybody. Now think about what I'm saying. You think you love everybody. Do you love everybody? Don't say yes yet. But do you love everybody? Because, you know, even when I was preaching and people were coming, you'd have that one sister that come to church just every month, and every month she'd go back to the altar, and you'd get just tired of her. Then you don't really love her. That's not perfect love. Right. You get that one guy that comes in and, you know, he just that way. He has that little thing about him that you don't like. And all of a sudden, you know, you find yourself when you're shaking hands with everybody else, you go around him. And you won't have nothing. Now be honest, y'all. I'm asking you to be honest with yourself, it's even, not with me. You don't have to tell me nothing. You don't have to tell Brother Tony. You don't have to tell these other brothers. And you don't have to tell nobody. Just be honest with yourself.
Right.
And all of a sudden, those that I did love, my brother David, I didn't speak to for 2 years. My only blessed brother. I talked to him every single day, as long as I could remember. We either seen each other, or we talked on the phone. The only way we didn't do it is if I was in another country somewhere. And all of a sudden, I didn't speak to him for 2 years. I was so hurt But now watch this. Remember in the dream I walked and it got darker and darker and darker. When I first left, it wasn't so bad. The next year, it wasn't so bad. But about 3 years in, I've got to the darkest place I'd ever been in my life. And when I looked out, I didn't want nothing to do with any of it. And all of a sudden, even the same God that I preached about, somebody come to me and begin to talk to me about it, and I said, look, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to talk about it. And I had a son just older than Mark, and me and him was talking about it one day. These kids have been raised in the message, man. But you know, they had never received God. And you know, they were just like most of the young kids in the message. They just went to church. They'd got a little blessing here and there. They'd been to the altar. They'd been here. They'd done this. But when I was talking to him one day, I told him, I said, man, if there's a God, he'd forsaken me. And I said, he don't have nothing. I said, I loved everything. I did all I could do. I give every dime. I said, I give them money when I wouldn't even give it to you. I was so tore up. But it was bitterness. And that thing began to eat on me. And that thing began to tear into me. And that thing hurt so bad that I could not stand anybody. There wasn't nobody. There wasn't nobody. My sister called me. She half raised me. She said, honey, I love you. So I don't know why. I'm being honest. Now, I don't think most people can do this. Most people won't be honest. But I've got a reason to. But she called me and she said, well, Tom, she said, I love you, son. I said, I don't know why. And she said, what do you mean? I said, I don't love you. I don't know why you'd tell me that. She began to cry. And I, you know, the thing was about it, y'all, in my heart, that's the way I felt right then. But I was talking to my son, and I told him those things, and I didn't know it till just the other night. And he gave a testimony. He said, when my daddy told me those things, he said, I thought, God, if I could just be where I need to be, maybe that could turn him back around to where he's back like he ought to be. The problem was I never was there. You understand? I never was there where I ought to be. You know, Peter, sitting down there with Jesus, Brother Rev said that he was justified. He was sanctified, but he never was converted. In this message, we can justify them, we can sanctify them, we can get them dressed up.
Right.
But it's hard to get them converted. Because if you ever get them converted, you know what they're going to do? They're going to change things.
That's right.
You ain't going to see that little temper tantrum you've been seeing all day. It's going to take that out of them. Brother Brown said, you tell me somebody with a fight of buzz saw, temper with a fight of buzz saw, that ain't the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
Man. You get somebody that always wants to be right and always haughty and high-minded and think he's better than somebody else, that's not God. But he prayed that way. And he went and married this little old girl. And he married this little girl and I brought her over and I thought, man, I cannot handle this girl. She also had been raised around the message. But just to me, I just could not stand. I'm being honest. I couldn't stand this child. I didn't want her around me. When she come around, it was just like I couldn't, you know, how long is it going to be? She's going to be here. She had such an attitude. And all of a sudden one day, she walks in the house. She walks in and she sits down and she begins to talk. And I didn't, that attitude wasn't there no more. And something was different about her. And Brother Tony, I didn't even know what it was, but I knew that something, you know, something was going on. Now remember how bitter I'd gotten. You think it's something. But anyways, about 2 months later, my son came to me and he said, Daddy, I got to talk to you. He said, I talked to the pastor, I talked to this preacher, they told me not to tell nobody, but he said, but you're my daddy, I got to talk to you. And he began to tell me things that they were going through and
What it was is they was repenting for the first time. And as he sat there and told me the things that was going on, for the first time in tens of years, in 10 years or so, I listened at that and I said, son, if you're ever, I said, you know how I feel about her. He said, I know. I said, if you're ever going to keep her, son, you better keep her right now. I said, because when she walked in my door the other day, there was something different about her. I said, she's repented, son. And he just broke down, went to cry, and got in his truck and left. I walked around the corner. When I did, I started singing a song. I had no idea what I was singing. I didn't sing. I didn't sing songs. It was just something that the kids around were singing or something. And all of a sudden, I heard a voice, and that voice said, "You used to sing." And I thought, God, or I thought, what did I sing? And I started to try to remember because I sang all the time. And I started trying to remember a song that I sung, and I could not remember a single song. Not one. And the only song that I could remember that was even a gospel song was Amazing Grace. But I tried to remember the first line, and I couldn't remember the first line of the song Amazing Grace. And I want you to hear me now. This might sound silly to you. You may just throw it over. It may not mean nothing to you. But then all of a sudden, when that happened, I thought, well, you know, that's something. And then I began to try to remember a scripture, and I couldn't remember a single scripture out of the Bible. I couldn't quote a single word out of the Message. Well, then I tried to remember something Brother Ram said, then I tried hard, and I couldn't remember nothing. It was all gone. And then I heard that voice again, and it said, "See, you went too far." And immediately when it did, I didn't get upset. I didn't cry. I didn't fall apart. I just said, "Yes, you're right." Verbally. I said, "Yes, you're right." And I went on. About a week later, my whole world fell apart. I'm not meaning a little bit. Everything I knew fell completely apart. And I was standing alone. I was standing by myself with nobody around. And me and Brother David had got to where we was actually talking a little bit now and again. Not talking. You know, it was a fish biting, sure. I was driving down the road and I was going to go to his house one day, and as I was driving down that road, I got to thinking about it. And remember, I don't remember anything. But as I began to go down that road, I began to pray, and I said, "God, I'm in a mess. I'm wanting to die. I'm praying, God, just kill me. And I'm praying, God, I don't know what to do." And all of a sudden, I told him, I said, "God, if there's any way, it's going to be you, God. I can't do this. I can't even want to do it." I said, "I know you're supposed to want to." I said, "But God, even if I don't want to do it, you've got to do it for me." I'm going to tell you something, y'all. Everybody needs to get like that. If you can get to that point, that you really mean it. But anyway, I was driving down the road and I went into Brother David's house, and I remember the brothers, he's got like 10 preachers down there, man. He's got preachers everywhere. They breed preachers in that church. You know, somebody comes to church, all of a sudden they're called to preach, you know. And anyway, one of the brothers was in there and they was kind of playing and cutting up, and one of them said, "If we could just get Brother Tom to repent." And Sister Vanessa was in the other room. She come running out of the other room like that, and she come in there and she pointed her finger and she said, "I'll have you to know, he's already repenting."
Nobody know nothing. I ain't said nothing to nobody. I'm just talking to God out there on the road somewhere. She noticed what she said. She went back into the room like she was scared. Well, she didn't. I went on about my business. Started coming to church, and my life had got so tore up. Even my wife, I felt like it turned on me. And I walked off Brother Daniel and left her. I divorced her. Never took none of them. Didn't want that. Why you want another? Get rid of one, leave alone. I'm sorry. But anyway, I was sitting there, and all of a sudden, one day after church, we went home, and I was laying in the bed, and I got to thinking. I thought, God, you know, I had a brother. I want to tell you, I had a brother come to me, and he said, "Well, Tom," said, "are you going to get up before the church and say anything?" And I said, "Why? No. I want you to watch this." I said, "No, absolutely not." I said, "I was not even here when I left. Why would I get up before them people? I just said I didn't sin against them people. I didn't do anything to them people." You see, a little attitude. That attitude was still there. The next night, one of them asked me, he said, "Brother Tom," said, you going to go back to Sister Ann? You know, Brother Brown talked about that old brother and his sister that divorced, and he said, because they couldn't get along, and then they realized one day, and he said, you know, that happened, y'all. I'm telling you, you don't know what you're fixing to go through. And all of a sudden, he asked me that, and I said, no. I said, y'all get that out of your mind. I said, you got a Hollywood ending to this thing, and it ain't happening. That little attitude, y'all. That little attitude. I was doing better. See? You get to doing better. I heard Brother Brown on tape the other night, and he was preaching to the people, and he told them, he said, you know, you get a little bit on you, and he said, then you stop. And that's where we're at, right in the middle of this message. We've stopped. People's taught the people in the message, if you can clean up, it's all over with. That ain't it. He don't want you just to clean up. He can clean up anything. He can dress a pig. See, what's going to change its nature?
Right.
It's got to be that seed down on the inside of it somewhere. And all of a sudden, I told him, I said, no, and I left there with that little attitude, you know, and I went. But anyway, a couple nights later, I was laying in my bed, and I began to pray, and I said, God, I remember those days when I can remember those days when I remember your spirit coming down around me and it would just engulf. You ever been there?
Amen.
You ever been in that? I don't know if y'all might not believe in speaking in tongues, but I'm going to tell you something. Brother Brown did.
Right.
And you know, you get so wrapped up into that, and all of a sudden everything around you is gone. And the Spirit of God has just engulfed you. And I thought, I was sitting there praying, and I said, God, I ain't felt it. I said, I've not seen you like that since I've been back. And I began to pray, and I said, God, is there anything that's keeping me? What is it, God, that's keeping me from going to that place? I said, God, if you just tell me, I'll make it right. He said, go before them people. And that wasn't no problem. I said, God, I'll do it. Anything you want me to do, I'll do it, God. I'll do it. You know, Brother Brown did say, he says, you ever believe me, you go back to him. You know, a lot of people don't believe in that. But he said it. I found it later, about a year after that. But anyway, and I was laying there, but nothing changed. It was still the same way as it was in the moment before. And I said, God, I said, is there anything else? And the Lord spoke to me. He said, go back and get her. Marry her. And I said, but God, she hurt me. And God said, and she did. And really, she hurt me. She hurt me. In my mind and in my heart. She hurt me. You understand what I'm saying? Just because somebody does something to you don't mean they did anything wrong. They may not even admit it that way. But it hurt you. If Satan can get you to think that way, he's got the problem solved for it.
Right.
And that's what he was doing. And I said, God, she hurt me. He said, she hurt one, and you've hurt thousands. And I broke down. And I said, God, anything that you want me to do, I'll do it. And about that time, Brother Lane, it felt like it was 1,000 angels stepped into my room. There was a cloud come into that room and just feel that it was unreal. And that next morning, I walked out of the house and I was walking through there and I said, oh God, did this really happen? And the Lord spoke to me and he said, open that book. And I turned around and there was a Bible laying in my daughter's car. And I reached in there and got it and I turned and it said, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to this important man, by what means he is made whole. Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doeth this man stand here before you whole. And I knew God was answering. What happened, y'all, is that from that moment on, everybody I met was different. I had people come to me and tell me how bad people were. And I loved them anyway. And I could say, I said, brother, I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear that. And I loved that person so much. And all of a sudden I realized that no matter where a person got in their life, God can raise that person up. You look at it in the way that we've been taught all of our lives and we think, you know, God, he's going to deal with this person. You pick them out. We've done it ever since I can remember. You pick them out like thinking that God, that guy, God can deal with. But that guy can't. Shame on you. It don't matter where he's at.
Right.
It don't matter where she's at. I'm going to tell you right now, you judge that thing and you think she's lost. And she ain't lost. She could be a seed of God in a mess.
Amen.
You ain't got no right to judge that, whether that's going to take her out of the kingdom of God or not.
Right.
You ain't got a right to judge that thing. You know, that prodigal son, when he looked out and he seen, he realized all of a sudden, he realized what was going on. And he turned to go back to the father's house. You think that there's people that don't judge you every day when they look at you over the things you've done in this life? You're crazy. There's people in this town that you've been raised around that judges your very being of everything you do. There's people that you go to church with that has judged you. But they judge you in the light of their, they put you in the line of their judgment in the sight of what they have. And it's not according to the word. It's what's wrong in their heart. Because what you done was the same thing that the prodigal son did. All of a sudden you found yourself somewhere you didn't belong. And the God comes sweeping down. I don't care what kind of mess it looks like.
Right, that's right.
It looks like it's tore all to pieces and everything's wrong with it. I read a quote the other day, Brother Raymond talking about it. He said, God knows what those things are. He knows and allows those things to come for a reason to put you in a place that he wants you to be in. God has allowed you to go through those things for a reason.
Amen.
To bring you back home again.
Amen.
Right.
know why all of a sudden I feel spirituals are, you know, it feels good all of a sudden.
Yes.
You understand that God is not the God of accidental things that happen.
Right, right, right.
But He knows all things.
Amen.
He delivers us from all things. If there's a seed laying down on the inside, He wants us to be a certain way, a certain position, a certain place. Why, you think that this little building's here? You think that however many years ago it was an accident that some guy decided they had a little extra money, so they built a building, put a little church in it. And that was an accident. No! But through the mind of God, before the world ever began, He seen this building. And He placed the people in here to witness to the world that God sent Malachi for. And to preach a message to them to get not that same old thing that we always done. Not to judge those things. How many times you heard people today, when I remember when I was a boy, you'd have never heard a man judging an apostolic preacher.
Come on.
Right. Now across this message, you say something about that godly man sitting over there, and they'll look at you like you're crazy and make fun of you.
Come on.
When that's probably where they need to be sitting.
Because
he knows more about God than they do. Just because you can quote a quote don't mean you know God.
Right, right.
Just because you can quote a quote and just because you know what Brother Branham said here, what Brother Branham said there, and you think you got it all figured out. Well, let me tell you something. If you've got it figured out, you've got it figured wrong.
Right.
That's what he said.
That's right.
You know, these guys running around the countryside, I'm telling you, I was there. I know. I'm telling you from experience. But all of a sudden, you know, you got the millennium figured out. You got the coming figured out. You got this figured out. You ain't got that ever figured out.
Amen.
Right.
They thought they had Jesus coming in the beginning. The first time they thought they had that so figured out. But when he came like he did, like a little bitty baby, they had it all messed up. They got the millennium so figured out. How can they figure out something that they have no idea what's going on? First of all, Brother Ren didn't say enough about it for you to figure it out. That's the first thing. And if he didn't say it, I don't want to hear it. I listened to a tape the other night, and in 1962, he said, "How do you know the rapture ain't going on right now?"
Come on.
I thought, oh my God. He said, "How do you know?" You know, we look at these things, we think we got it figured out. We got it down. We know it. And I heard a bunch of brothers the other day. They was talking. I'm telling you what, it just made me sick in my stomach. They was sitting there and they was talking about, and they had all of everything figured out, and they was having the quotes and this and that, and a little brother preaching to them, and they said, "Oh, he's just a novice." And what was he doing? He was sitting there preaching the word of God to them. Like, I thought, oh my God!
Yeah.
And then I turned around and I sat down with a group of them and a group of ministers in this message. And Brother Tony, they begin to talk about people. And they begin to talk about my friends and the ones I love. And I had all I could handle of it. I got up and I didn't get mean. But I got up and I just slipped over to another table with the novice. You know why? He was talking about Jesus.
Amen.
That's right.
That's where I wanted to be.
Amen.
I didn't care what them guys had to say.
Right.
He was talking about God.
Amen.
He was talking about what the Lord had done for him. I'm going to tell you what God could do right here.
Come on.
If you would let him to do it, and you get rid of all that nonsense, and you get rid of all that stuff. You know, he looked at Peter. Jesus looked at Peter at the end of his days. He said, "Peter, when thou art converted, go strengthen the brethren."
Right.
When thou art converted, Peter. I don't know if you've ever been converted or not.
Come on.
That's up to you. You know already. Brother Ram said, "It's not for me to judge you." He said, "All I do is lay a seed. That's all we're doing tonight."
Right.
It's not for me to judge you. I can stand and you can tell me your life up one side and down the other. You know, the only thing I got to say for you, praise God, we're going to be in glory together. I ain't found nobody in the last few years. I ain't found nobody going to hell. So, Brother Tom, do you know they're going? I said, "I don't care. That's not my place."
Yeah, that's right.
care what they are. I worked in a jail. And I'm going to tell you something. You ever work in a jail, you know there's some bad people in this world. When I walked into that place, they said I was the meanest guard that ever walked in there. When I walked out, they were saying, "Brother, Mr. Morrison, what happened to you?" I had inmates come to me and said, "Can I talk to you?" I said, "Sure." He said, "Mr. Morrison, we need to know something." I said, "What, brother? What's going on?" He said, "Are you going to church?" It's the only way he knew how to put it. I said, "Well, yes, sir." He said, "Mr. Morrison," he said, "they're talking about you all over the jail, man." He said, "Man, you changed." I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "You changed. Everything about you's changed. And every one of them murdering, thieving, hateful, ugly drug addicts that I thought was the scum of the earth, all of a sudden became children of God."
Praise the Lord.
"All of a sudden became somebody that I know that if I could just talk to them for a moment, they'd see him." I don't have no great theology to teach him. But if God changed me, he can change that man also.
Amen.
I walked through there one day and had a boy in solitary. And he put the banging on the window. I walked over to him. He had the book of Hebrews out. And he said, "Mr. Morris," he said, "I'm reading this Bible." He said, "I was reading the Bible. And it said that if I committed sin, I can't never be saved." I said, "No, it didn't." I said, no, it didn't. And I began to tell him what the scripture was. And, you know, I had another inmate standing beside of me, a state inmate that worked for us. And when we walked off, he said, he called me Uncle Tom, by the way. And he said, "Uncle Tom," he said, "when you was talking to that guy," he said, You act like anybody could get forgiveness." I said, "Well, they can, Dominique." He said, "Well, you know, the Bible said, I read it." He said, "There ain't gonna be no murderers there." I said, "Son," I said, "are you a murderer?" I knew what he'd done. He said, "Yes, sir. I killed that man." I said, "Did you ever repent of it?" I said, "Did you ever look in the face of God and say, 'God, I'm sorry'?" He said, "With everything that's in me, every day I ask you to forgive me." I said, "Then you didn't kill nobody."
Amen. Praise the Lord.
I said, "Use that face, take it out of you, man." I'm going to tell you, y'all, this church right here needs to be full. Fill it up. Go into the hedges and the highways and the byways and tell them to come. Don't worry about what they look like or how they act or what they're doing. Go get them! They may be too good. You know, they may be too good down the road, and I don't know what's going on, but they may be too good down the road, but they ain't too good for here. You ain't too good for them people. Because I want to tell you, you are them people.
Amen.
And some folks got a little bit offended at me the other day when I was talking like that. So by the time I'll have you to know, I ain't. Oh, I said, "Oh my." But lady, all of us.
Right.
You think that bitterness, I told somebody the other day, they was talking about things. I said, "Look, y'all. I said, the things that you've seen me do was not the bad thing. I said, what was down deep inside my heart, that was what was bad. That darkness that engulfed me, that engulfed that heart. I'm going to tell you something. You can go to church every day of your life just like that. Every day you sit in a church bench, a little something comes up, a little argument goes on, you let that thing go."
Amen.
And that's your brother.
Right.
Let it go.
Amen.
Leave it alone. Don't worry about it no more. Say, "God, forgive me for what I've done." And you can't find what you've done, just say, "God, forgive me for everything." And then go on. fill this place up. Who is going to witness to this message? Who is going to witness of this word? Who is going to witness of what God has done in the age we live in? Who's going to witness it? If it won't be you, who else is going to do it in this place that we live, that we're here in?
Right.
I look around and I see, you know, you said, well, you know, Brother Tom, witness it. You witness it by the very life you live, not by the way you dress. If that was the case, every message church in the world would be full. Because our women just looks the part. But you know, you get out there and you don't, it don't matter how you look. You got that attitude? That little attitude? That tells the world you ain't no different than they are.
Right.
You just dress a little different. Just a little bit. You love everybody except for that one person that sits in the corner. Ain't nobody sitting in the corner, right? You love everybody but that one person. You don't love everybody! We can pick on the deacon. It's easy not to love the deacon. But that deacon, man. I love everybody. But you know, I heard that guy the other day. I tell you what. I seen him act up. I love them all. Yeah, we got music players. Can we get the music players to come? I seen him. I know him. You know what Brother Ron said? He said, you see a brother in a fault. He said, you push that thing so far back that nobody could ever see it.
Amen.
He said, but Tom, that's hide and sin. No, it ain't. It ain't doing that. He said, you push that thing back. Go read it. Go read it. You see that? You see one of these young people and doing something that they shouldn't do? Don't you fall apart and judge that little lady. Shame on you. You see one of the brothers doing something like you go to him. My brother, look. You know, I seen the other day, I don't understand. But, you know, if you don't. And then he said, well, brother, I didn't say that like that. I didn't say that. Well, I'm sorry, Elena. I misunderstood you. Do you know what that done? It cleared it all.
That's right. Amen.
It's done.
Amen.
That little brother that was at that meeting with me the other day, Brother John Bailey, he's a young minister, just a wonderful little preacher. When he was 17 years old, I was standing in the pulpit preaching. He got mad at me. He jumped up and ran out on me. Didn't come back. He didn't walk back in church for 11 years. Wouldn't come back to church. Got mad at me because of what I said. I called him one time and I told him. He said, you said such, such. I said, John, I never said that. He ate it. Yeah, you said that. About 3 years ago, his grandma, right before she died, called him and said, John, I've got a box of tapes. So I want you, you know, you come over to get them. I said, your preachers, all kinds of different preachers, all over, you know, everybody. And I had a tape in there. Well, he looked down in there. He had already been coming back. He had already come back to the Lord. You know, he's already serving God. And he reached down in there and he seen my name on the tape. And he put it on. And you know what tape it was? It was the one he walked out on after all them years. And he listened to that tape. And that day he called me. I didn't, you know, I wasn't talking to nobody. But he said, Brother Thomas, said, this is Brother John Bailey. Would you talk to me for a minute? He knew I wasn't talking much to nobody. I said, yeah, John, go ahead. What's up, man? He told me. He said, Brother Tom, I found that tape. He said, after all these years, he said, you didn't say what I thought you did. I said, my God, man. See, he's a good guy. You know what it done? It took care of it. If Satan can't get you to argue with him, there is no argument.
Right. Amen.
If he can't get you to fight with your neighbor, there ain't no fight.
Right.
If he can't get you to talk about somebody, there ain't nobody to talk about.
Right.
If God can get you to uplift your brother, y'all hand in hand go out there and win souls to Christ.
Amen.
You say, well, I tell you what, I'm a preacher and I don't agree with Brother Tony. I don't care. What difference does it make? As long as we love Christ, we love this message. You know, we got a little bit of something. Now, I'm not talking about if he goes crazy. But what difference does it make? Let's come to the point of saying, he lays it down in front of me and said, right there it is. It was. I believe it. Brother Brandon said it. Amen. Now let's work together, Brother Tony. Let's fill this building up.
Amen.
That's what you ought to do.
Amen.
Every one of you. I'm telling you. You watch that bitterness thing.
Yeah.
And I don't know why I've not been talking about that so much long time, but you better watch that bitterness thing. Because you think everything's going on. You think he's done something wrong. I don't know what you've done, brother. But listen, y'all. You better watch that thing.
Right.
I don't care who it's toward. It better not even be the President of the United States.
Right.
I don't care what you think about him. And don't get me started. But I'm telling you, the thing will slide in on you. It'll slip in on you in the middle of the night. And all of a sudden, it's eating at you. You know, he talked about you. He don't really love you. You know, what you did was wrong. Well, you know, them preachers over there, they don't love me no more. Really? It don't matter. You know, Brother Ryan said, it don't matter what they think about me.
Right.
It does not make no difference what they think of you. And really, you say, Brother Thomas, what are you talking about? I have no idea, man. All I know is don't get bitter. Forget all the other stuff. Clear it up. Make it right. You got something in your life that you got that little attitude? You get that little attitude you got toward a brother somewhere? I don't care. If he's in Walnut Ridge. You know, Brother Lane, he come down here every now and then. The brothers, they just love him to death. They was talking about how wonderful he was the other day. I thought, man, I got to meet that guy. You know, that's the way it ought to be.
Amen.
You know, they just tell me how good a guy he was. They didn't tell me he played guitar. But they just told me, you know, man, he says, I like that guy. I thought, well, if you like him, I like him. Your brother Tony likes him, I'm going to like him too. Let's just love one another.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. That's the power he is. Brother, like something in there. Just real light. Oh, I like that. I went longer than what I was planning on. A lot longer. Y'all forgive me. But I want you to search yourself right now. You know, one of the problems we got in this age we live in is people, we don't pray like we ought to. Brother Tony was telling me about a brother that's praying, you know, 3 or 4 hours a day. Man, that's where it's at, y'all. You can't get your spirit right without talking to him. In the things that's going on around you, whatever troubles you've had, whatever problem you've had, you know you can get all that right and get it all straightened up just by talking to him. To God, man. And when you get to that place that you know that you're where you ought to be, everything's better. You pray through one time and see how much you love everybody. You ever really pray through? You ever really, really pray through? But now you got a little something. You got a little something that's eating on you. There's a little problem there. Something took place. Somebody said something. Somebody did something. Somebody acted for some way. And you feel that thing eating on you and you know it's there. But you want rid of that thing this evening.
Would you just raise your hand to him and say, "Brother Tom, I know what you're talking about. It's in my heart." Just raise your hand to him. God bless you. Bless you. Bless you. And Brother Tom, I don't want that thing in my heart. I want rid of that thing. Oh, God bless you, honey. I want rid of that. I want everything clear. Right now, I want rid of all those things. Anything that would hinder me, God, I'll give it to you right now. Anybody else, real quick? Amen. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. You know, that's what it is, y'all. It's a surrender. It's to Him. Just clean me up, God. How many just wants to be clean this evening? You just want to clean up. God, whatever it is, Lord, if there's anything, won't you just, I tell you what, raise your hand, just stand up and raise your hands to Him. Let's begin to cry out to Him. Brother, if you don't care, start to sing that song that you're playing.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus.
We just want to, God, just whatever you want in my life right now, just clean me up. Clean it up, God. Lord, if it's something hidden down inside of me that I can't even see, take it away from me, Lord. Just call upon Him. That's right. As those tears come from you, you know. Let God see you in the way He wants to see you. Humble ourselves to Him this evening. Say, God, whatever it is, Lord. Heavenly Father, God, we know, Lord, that You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. Lord, we know, God, that the things that we see in this hour that we live in, that Father, You, Lord, would have us to be more like You. That's Your message. Lord, if we can show people that You're alive and You're here, Lord. Through the power and demonstration of Your Holy Spirit, God. Through the grace that we share one with another, Father. God, may You touch every heart, Lord.
Yes,
as their hands is raised, the tears in their eyes, Father. God, that they want You. They need You, Lord, to see us. Father, I pray, God, that there'll be a revival break out in this place.
Yes, Lord.
God, that You'll fill this building, Lord.
Hallelujah.
With the seed of God in this area.
Yes, Lord.
Father, send them in. From those hedges and the highways. Lord, let us go get them, Lord. Father, let's, Lord, just go and call them in, Lord. Let's go show them, Father, that You're alive, Lord. Lord, let's go tell them, God. On the mountain and down by the seashore, Lord. Everywhere they might be hiding, God. Show us those, Father. Those that have left You and gone and backslidden. And Lord, that we've forgotten about. Put it on our remembrance of their names, God, this evening. Let us make lists in our heart and go to them, Father, as You send us that way. God, we ask You. Lord, touch every heart. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.
saints. You know, it really doesn't matter what we believe and what we do and what we say. If we don't touch other lives, then it's in vain. If we don't love others, as we heard tonight, you know, I was thinking in the scriptures, you know, that Jesus said if we only love our own or only do good for our own, then what reward have we? What kind of person are we? Because the sinners and all the peoples of the world do that. But Jesus said for us to be perfect like our Father in heaven is perfect. Meaning, in the context of that scripture, is that if all we do is love those that are our own, if we only have a burden for those that are our own, we haven't arrived yet.
That's right. Amen.
And so I know Brother Branham, a quote that I have used several times, Brother Branham said, if you know that a brother's done something against you, done something wrong to you, and he said, you know that he's done it, not just what you want, but you know that this brother has done something towards you evil. Brother Branham said, you go into prayer.
Amen.
And you pray until you get in the presence of God.
Amen.
And I'm glad the Lord has allowed me to understand this, because I will use this when I talk with brothers and I talk with people who have problems, because I know that God has given us tools that will work, and the only way that it's going to work is if we pick those tools up and use them. Brother Van said, you can go into the presence of God and you pray until you know that you're standing in the presence of God. You do that. And then this brother that's done you evil, then take that need before the Lord. Take that situation before the Lord. And Brother Brown said this, he said, no person can stand, no mortal man can stand in the presence of God, right? He can't do that and have bitterness and anger and all the
right.
things. You can't do that in the presence of God. And so all I can say is if we wake up tomorrow morning and we find in our hearts we don't have love for whoever it is, you can rest assured you're not in the presence of God. And I have found this to be true myself. If you want to love someone, get in the presence of God.
Amen.
And it'll cause you to love your brother.
Amen.
I think tonight that every one of us can find ourselves in this testimony.
Yeah.
You know, I know from the teachings of the message that people would say, well, no real message believer would ever walk out and gone away and done something like that. The brother told you that he didn't have what he thought he did.
Right.
See, that's right. But one of the fastest ways for us to know that we're headed down a wrong road is when we pick up that attitude. It's like you said, that little attitude about pain. When it comes to his wife, he said, well, she hurt me. The pain is a very interesting thing because we all try to get away from it. And sometimes, and probably, I guess, every time, the only way to really deal with it, to really get away from it, is to go back and confront it and remove the source of it. And so I think every one of us can find ourselves in this brother's testimony tonight. And I just ask you, is Satan a respecter of persons? God's not, neither is Satan.
No.
And what tools will Satan use? Satan will use the mouth of those you love and those
right.
who love you.
Amen.
He'll use any tool. Listen, if you and I were in hand-to-hand combat and I wanted to survive, I don't care what it is in this room, if I could pick up this drum set, if I thought I could use it to destroy you as my enemy, I'd use it. And Satan will use anything that he can to destroy. So he uses whatever he can get his hands upon. And so for us as believers, what does that tell us? We should just that much more fervently. We want to be in the presence of God. We want
Amen.
To be caught up in the Holy
Amen.
Spirit, because I don't want Satan using my mouth.
Right. Amen.
My mouth is made to serve the Lord Jesus Christ and bless his people. My eyes are to look on the things of God, and everything about me is to be for the kingdom of heaven,
Amen.
Which is to be for God's people, because that's how you serve God. You serve one another. That's what it's about.
Amen.
But the only thing we'll ever reach to that point is when we just fall before God, as the brother had described. He came to that place where he said, you know what, God, you're going to have to do this. And I've been there, not in that situation like that, but I've been to places where I've had to say, God, you're going to have to do this. You're going to have to do it, because you'll find and hopefully you won't, but you could find yourself in a place where Satan will try to strike you with absolute insanity. You'll know that what he's trying to do to your mind at that moment is to absolutely make you go crazy. That's right. But what is it? We have, it is to fall to the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. And no matter what it is, not to pick up any attitude, but to have grace. And say, Lord, I don't care what this person is, I don't know what it is, but they are lovable, they are savable, because it's not our place. It's not our place to be able to say, well, you know, they might have been saved, but they went thus far. Or, you know, if they hadn't done this, or hadn't done, that's not our program.
Amen.
Our program is to go out and to preach that gospel and show them they can be saved.
Amen.
And then let God. I would much rather bring a multitude of people to God, or just one or two, or whatever it is, but my lot, I'd rather bring them to him and say, here they are, they're saved. And for him at that point to say, well, this one's not, though. You made a mistake there. I'd rather it be that way.
Amen.
To come and say, I couldn't bring none because they weren't unsavable.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
We want to make this gospel and live this gospel so that the guy next to us looks at us and he says, you know what? I can be that. That gospel that touched his life, I can attain to that. God can do that for me.
Right.
Don't make it look like that they can't get there. You make it to where it's doable.
Amen.
Because no matter what we stand for, and what we teach, what we do, if it doesn't work, there's something wrong with it.
Amen.
Right? Amen. So I appreciate the brother's testimony tonight.
Amen.
I mean, you liked it.
Amen.
Amen. I mean, found yourself in it.
Amen. Amen.
That's right. We find ourselves in it. He spoke of bitterness. You know, bitterness is something Satan wants to put in your life in front of you, ahead of you, what you'll come into. But he also wants to use things in the past.
Yep.
And let me encourage you, saints. We all are on a battlefield. We've all been through different types of battles. I don't probably know a lot of the things that you've been through. But Satan wants to use those things to create bitterness. We can't have that.
Right.
We can't have bitterness in our hearts. We can't have, as I said at the beginning of service, we cannot expect to be there and have bitterness in our heart here, because we'll have it there. See, we want God to clean us up here.
Amen.
And how many believes he can do that?
Amen.
Amen. This brother's testimony is a good example of that. Let's just bow our hearts to the Lord and we get ready to close the service out. Lord Jesus, Lord, it comes to my mind right now, Lord, where you said in the book of Revelation that they overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word and their testimony, Lord. God, we have believed this gospel that came down through ages. And it was spoken on the mouths of mortal men. Men who had mistakes in their lives. And God, you have reached down and touched them in such a way and changed their life. And their testimony, God, you have saved millions of people throughout the ages based upon the testimony of the lives of those people that you worked in previous ages. And Lord, we realize tonight, this brother's testimony, God, that it has been brought to us from you, Lord, and it is something that we take, Lord, and it creates in us an overcoming power. Lord, because it's not the brother's word, it's your word. It's not what he did, but God, it's what you did in his life. And Lord, we can all use a dose, Lord, of this kind of thing, this kind of testimony, this kind of fervency in our lives, Lord. We ask, God, that you would just take the things we've said tonight. You bless the hearts of your people with it. Lord, may they not forget it. May they think about it tonight as they lay on their bed and ponder on it, Lord. And may you make you in your own sweet, precious way as you come down and put your finger in on something in their life and show them, Lord, how this testimony they heard tonight, how that applies to their life. God, show them the answers to it. Thank you for what you've given us tonight, Lord. We look forward to tomorrow's service. Ask God that you would just go before us. We'll be praying. And Lord, we pray that you go before us and touch the lives of those that need to be here. Lord, to bring them to the house of God. Just move every obstacle out of the way so they can come and listen to my word. We love you, Lord, and ask that you be with the fellowship this evening as we go and be with each one as they travel. They're tired in their bodies from a big day of activities. We just ask, Lord, that you help them in every way. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
In the presence of
see you tomorrow morning at 10:30 a.m.
Thank you. keep